Advices Radio Network.
Advices Radio is for entertainment and educational purposes only. The opinions of the host are not meant to be taken as medical advice. If you have a health concern, see a doctor immediately.
When it comes to the day of the contest, I'm his father. He comes to me for advices. So it's not that hard for me to give him the wrong advices.
Welcome to Advices Radio. This is episode number 21. Advices Radio is presented by Naps Gear. I'm your host, Scott McNally. Tonight, we're going to do a little bit of an experiment. I've talked about how I want to give people a chance, people that want to do podcasting or writing or video. I've told people to get a hold of me if that they want to do this stuff. And I found somebody that reached out to me and he's interested. And so I decided, let's just give him a shot here on the show tonight. Like any experiment, I have no idea how this is really going to go, so bear with me. I've also had a couple of people reach out to me and express interest in writing, and somebody reach out that was interested in editing, so it looks like we're kind of putting a team together, and I think this is kind of exciting because, really, I feel like we should be able to do whatever we want, and I'm grateful to be in a position where I can kind of like facilitate that to happen. So let's get this experiment out of the way first. It's going to be about 30 minutes long. And then after that, we are going to go to the Q&A with S2H. I'm working on something special next week. I plan on bringing on S2H and another guest. I don't want to mention his name yet. I'll know later tonight whether this is going to work out or not. But I'll let you guys guess who it is. It's somebody that you all know. It's somebody that S2H knows, and, well, it would be really cool to see them together. I'm not going to say, but you can guess, and you'd probably be right. Yeah, you're right. All right, let's get to the show. Welcome to Advices Radio, episode number 21. I'm your host, Scott McNally. Advices is presented by Naps Gear. Tonight, I am with Jeremy Simon. If you guys haven't seen him before, we did a video not too long ago. We're going to have it up here at the Advices Radio website, advicesradio.com. And you can also see it over at Project Bodybuilding. But Jeremy had just done his most recent contest, and we did a video talking about his last week preparations coming into the show. So it's post-contest time now. I've got Jeremy here with me, and what we are going to discuss is coming off your diet. After a show, what do you do? You know, how do you reverse off a diet? So, Jeremy, thanks for being here with me, brother.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, so how are things going? How long has it been since you've been done with the show? How many weeks ago was that now?
It'll be 6 weeks this Saturday.
Okay. So are you eating a lot more now?
I'm finally starting to get up there, but yeah. It took a while. The first week, it was basically eating... basically 300 grams of carbs, still more than what I normally would, but
yeah.
And then from there, we just added small amounts of food every week.
Okay. Now, you worked with Matt Porter, right?
Yep.
Okay. And so he's worked with you. You said you guys just finished working together just real recently, right?
Yep.
So he's helped you with this reversal for the first few weeks, huh?
Yep. I worked with him for like the last year. We did just a lean gains start. Okay. Basically, I dieted down last November. I got down to pretty much contest shape, and then we went ahead and started the off season or the growth phase.
Nice.
And I went from about 194 up to I saw 253 on the scale at one point. Obviously,
no
that was
shit.
A good time. Yeah, I was 246 in the morning, so I put a good almost 50 pounds on.
Dude, that's a lot of weight, man. And how tall are you?
5'9".
Yeah, I didn't think you were that tall.
Yep.
Yeah, you looked great too, man. What did you weigh for your contest?
And yeah, I came down to about 198, which we're still kind of boggled as to how I dropped that much weight. I mean, we even look at pictures and see, you know, how I actually looked in the off season, you know, at the end, and my conditioning was still there.
Yeah.
So, you know, who knows, stress could have been anything. I know my job was much more physical now compared to what I was doing before this. So I think that had a major contributor to it.
I'm sure. Now, we've talked about that before, but obviously the listeners here at Advices might not have heard your video that we had done. What do you do for a living?
I work for Culligan. I deliver salt and water.
Okay.
So I'm constantly carrying about 3 bags of salt over my shoulder every day to into houses downstairs and stuff. And I deliver anywhere from 75 to 125 bags a day. And on top of that, another 70 to 100 bottles of water.
Yeah, that stuff adds up, man. I mean, I've worked in delivery before. I could tell you that having like that much physical activity in your day, it beats you down, doesn't it?
It's draining. I mean, even you want to train as hard as you can when you go to the gym, but by the time you get there, you have to muster up any energy you can.
Yeah, I had used I depended on a lot of pre-workouts at that time because.
Oh yeah,
dude, I just feel, man, like for years doing that, I would just like walk in the gym dead on my feet, and thank God, you know, I had like a good pre-workout with like some 1,3 dimethylamine in it, and you know, 20 minutes after I took that, I would finally be like getting my third wind.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? You've been there.
Oh yeah, definitely. And then you get done, and then the next day in the morning you're just dragging because body's so run down.
Yeah. And how old are you?
28.
Okay, so you're not old yet. You know, you got some years left in you. Try doing that in another 7 years, man. It would get tougher.
I'm hoping to not be doing this job in 7 years. But we'll see.
No kidding, man. So you were saying too, like you want to get involved in podcasting.
Yep.
Speaking of, you know, what you plan on doing in the future, man, I think that's awesome because the bodybuilding world needs, you know, more good podcasters, more people that can moderate a show. You know, I can only host so many shows in the week. I need some help. So I would love to have you on board, man. This could be really cool. So we should definitely figure something out and bring you on and, eventually try to work you into a show of your own, you know, do your own thing. That'd be cool.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, from talking to you, you're a really educated guy. And I get the vibe that you have a passion for sharing the information you have.
Correct. Yep. I've been doing this forever. And I think back to what I could have done and how I could have advanced quicker. And I just like to pass that on anybody I can.
Yeah. Cause I mean, honestly, I totally agree with you, man. There's a lot of things that I would have done differently if I could go back and do it all again. And one way to get that information is to have a coach, but another way is to do your own research. And for me, listening to good podcasts.
And that's what I do all day. Yeah. When I work for Culligan, I just listen to podcasts all day. Like I was telling my fiance the other day that, you know, one of the greatest inventions of podcasts, because you can get so much info.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, man. I mean, I've educated myself a lot. There's been some great shows out there.
Yeah. Lately there's been a lot of really good ones.
So, I mean, it's really cool that we can do that. And I'm right there with you, man. I feel like I want to give something back, and that's why we do Advices Radio, really. You know, there's a lot of guys out there that, if nothing else, I really would like to be able to help keep people safe, too, you know?
Yeah, there's a lot of bad information out there, too, you know, and a lot of extremes, and you just don't have to go to that extreme.
Sure. So, we'll have to talk about that more, but kind of getting back to, you know, what we're talking about with reversing the diet, how low were your carbs going into the contest?
They were at 50 grams a day on workout days and zero on non-workout days.
Okay. And obviously this was a progression. You had worked down to that.
Yeah, I was up to 500 grams of carbs. That's what our base diet was, about 500 grams of carbs, and we slowly dropped that over the course of about 18 weeks.
Okay. So coming out of the contest, you said you're at, what did you say, 300 grams now?
Then, Matt bumped them up to about 300, basically just to get them just to get some fuel back in me, you know, and I fill up pretty quick. So, but I've actually managed to keep my weight down. I'm only 8 pounds over my stage weight right now.
Nice.
So I've been pretty happy with that. It's not been easy. I mean, any kind of foods around, it's very tempting.
So, how often do you have a cheat meal?
Once a week on Saturday nights. So.
Okay. And besides that, you're staying, you know, strict to the diet. So that, unless somebody's dieted down to contest shape, I don't believe they can understand just how difficult it is to stay to your diet post contest.
Oh yeah, I mean, your hunger signals and all your ghrelin and everything is so messed up. So, I mean, you eat a meal and you literally want to eat everything in sight afterwards, and just you got to be doing something, otherwise you're gonna just want to eat.
It feels like an eating disorder, honestly.
Oh, it does. I mean, I just feel like that's all I think about is food, you know, and until you get your body fat percentage back to a normal level, I mean, your body's basically thinking it's starving, so it's going to do anything it can to get you to eat.
Exactly. Yeah. And there's so much going on, too. I mean, you know, getting ready for a show, we had spoke before, once again, you didn't have to do a ton of cardio into this show because your work was so demanding, but... I mean, there are people out there that are doing a lot of cardio. So if you're training in the gym for 2 hours a day and, you know, you're doing it 2 45-minute sessions of cardio, plus posing, plus tanning, plus food prep, there are not many hours in the day left. You know, you hardly have any time. So to go from that to go to the post-contest phase, it's kind of like all of a sudden your life is just in limbo, you know, and food is there. It's so easy to just try to like fill up that space.
Definitely. And like I said, if you have more free time, then it's, you know, that's when I find I have the hardest time. And if you stay busy, it's not near as bad. But like you said, post show, you know, cardio usually drops and everything like that. So you don't have quite as many things to do. But yeah, it definitely gets to you.
I would even go as far to say that it's possible to get like a post-show depression after the contest ends.
I did get that, you know, because you kind of, what happens is you're looking forward to this show the whole time, and then you do it and you're like done, like, now what, you know? I like it because I can jump back into my off season, but I still like to, you know, take some time to rest and recoup the body, because after 20 weeks of dieting, you just can't go full bore into your growth season again, you know?
Sure. But I think, you bring up a really good point there, and that is to have goals. You know, you've got your goal for the contest, and by the time that you get close to that, everything is so, you know, single-mindedly directed on the show. You need to also be thinking about what you're going to focus on afterwards.
Yep, and actually the last 2-3 weeks I'm already planning, I mean, on what I plan on doing once the show is over.
Okay.
So that way I kind of keep my mindset on what I'm trying to do versus just, you know, a lot of people after a show just go and binge. And I mean, I've done it, but I mean, you can get so sick doing that, and not to mention you're just going to balloon up. I mean, I've done that before too. And you just lose it so fast. I mean, it comes on, you know, takes forever to come off, but if you just literally fall for a week, I mean, you can lose 8 to 10 weeks of progress.
Sure. So what's the most you've ever gained after like a post contest binge?
I think about 25 pounds in a week.
That's a lot. I've gained probably about 20, and it's not a pretty 20 either. You know?
No, you look, it's so depressing. You know, you get down the show, you look great, and then a week later, you just look like the Michelin man.
Yeah, and with that post-show edema, you know, I mean, you can get...
It's dangerous,
it
too.
It is. Yeah, I've heard stories of people that are hospitalized. It's a lot of stress on your heart.
Yeah, I had leg cramps so bad after my second show. I couldn't walk. I could barely walk.
Really?
I tried to do cardio, and there's just no way. Yeah. So ever since then, I've taken a different approach post-contest. Like, the show may be over, but you're not done yet.
Yeah, yeah. We're never really done, you know, and that's kind of the beauty of what we do. You know,
well, that's the thing. It's a, you know, lifetime commitment type of thing, you know?
And, yeah. Yeah.
Constantly have something to look forward to and constantly progress. That's my favorite part about it.
And as cheesy as it sounds, it really is about the journey, you know, not the destination.
Oh, definitely. Yep. I mean, you just got to enjoy it, enjoy what you're doing. If you're not enjoying the process, then why are you doing it? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. There's going to be some lows in your prep and you're not going to feel great. You're going to be hungry. You're going to be tired. But at the end of the day, you know, you're working towards a goal. So that keeps the, keeps your mindset in the right place.
Sure. So you said you're at 300 grams of carbs. Now, did Matt just jump you back up to 300 immediately, or did you slowly climb to 300?
We went to 300 immediately, but keep in mind my fats are basically non-existent.
Okay.
Protein's about 400 grams. Basically, it's just a cup of rice with pretty much every meal for seven meals. So it's it's just more so to keep blood sugar stable, give me just enough energy. And like I said, I didn't gain a lot of weight off it, so.
Okay. Well, you know, just one point that I want to make to the listeners when you are reversing off a diet. Somebody like yourself, you didn't have to do a lot of cardio. You you aren't overly sensitive to carbs in your off season. You could add a lot of carbs right away. You know, that's definitely an option for you. For
definitely with a laborious people, job, but if you're sitting at a desk all day to do that, probably wouldn't be the best idea.
Yeah, or somebody who's just really sensitive to carbohydrates, like
an endomorph or something.
Yeah, somebody who tends to get fat, or you know, the people that have to go to a keto diet for an extended period of time. You know, there's no one size fits all. Yeah, we've all got to take our own approach, really.
Yeah, everybody's different.
And so that was Matt's job. Was to determine what approach would work best for you. Now, have you worked with clients of your own in nutrition?
I have. Yep.
Okay.
Basically, just locally around here, but.
Okay. Now, any of them had to go to a keto diet?
I've put a couple of them on them. Yes.
Okay. And then, what do you do to reverse that?
Basically, you're just gonna want to slowly implement carbs back in. You know, like I said, go to like 50, 100. You just kind of keep slowly working them back up.
Yeah. And the thing is, too, there's no like set in stone amount.
You kind of have to go by feeling, you know, but if you see they're not putting on body fat, they're looking fuller, they're starting to, you know, just look, having a fuller look to them, then we can keep adding. But if you start to see, you know, lower back fat starting to creep back up and things like that, then we need to back off.
Bingo. Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. You know, I tell my clients that we'll add the food in, because sometimes I'll have somebody that comes to me and they always want to know, like, well, what are we doing for the next month? And I can't tell them
that. It changes every week. And I mean, that's how it should be. Otherwise, you just got a cookie cutter diet. And we all know a cookie cutter diet doesn't work for everybody. It's just.
No, and the reason that is because, you know, we're adding the carbs, and it's just like, say, baking a cake. You know, we have a recipe, we make the cake, we see what the results are, and then we determine, okay, you know what, maybe we want to add a little bit more of this, or we want to take a little bit of this away. We have to give you an opportunity to utilize, say, we add 60 carbs post-contest. You got to have a week of time to eat those carbs and for your body to respond. And from there, we can determine, you know, what do we want to do next?
Exactly.
Yeah. So for some people, especially like an ectomorph type person, yeah, you might be able to add in a good amount of carbs right away when you want to come off a diet. But, you know, definitely, though, you need to be super vigilant and watch closely. I think it's important, too, that people do get an opportunity to have, you know, downtime, to have cheat meals and have like quote unquote fun food.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you're just going to drive yourself nuts if you don't ever get something, you know, I mean, you got to live your life too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny how, what's the word I'm looking for here? It's funny how much our society revolves around food for entertainment.
Every social situation you go to, you know, and I mean, I work at Culligan, you know, and when I go to back to the shop, there's always something in the break room, like every day.
Yeah.
And you just kind of got to keep in mind that's not going to help your gains or progress.
Yeah. Like you're dieting for a show and you're going to go out on a date. What's the normal date? You go out to eat, you know?
Exactly. Yep.
There's you take food out of the equation and you lose a lot of options real quick. So
yeah, you don't even realize until you are dieting down how much food is involved in every aspect, family gatherings, you know.
Sure. What do you think about the post-show rebound? Some people believe that you could gain a ton of muscle post-contest. Other people believe you're just filling out what you already had. What are your thoughts?
I've done it both ways. Like I said, after a show, I've upped food and, you know, went at it like crazy. But I think what ends up happening is you're going to gain a lot more fat too quickly. And then your off season is just kind of, you're kind of, you know, at a loss for the rest of your off season because you've already got this body fat accumulated and you can't, you basically have to do another mini diet to drop it off.
Right.
So I like the approach of just, you know, you obviously want to add some food back in, slowly keep gaining tissue while staying lean. Otherwise, you know, you said you're going to gain too much body fat.
But do you believe, though, that you can...
That there's actually a window there where you can gain...
Yeah, where you're going to super compensate and grow muscle at an exorbitant amount of speed?
I mean, I think you're definitely going to put a little... It's gonna, you're going to be a little more anabolic than normal, but I don't think it's as much as everybody makes it out to be.
Yeah. My thought is a lot of it is just that you're filling back out, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, everybody thinks you're growing a lot more simply because all your glycogen pools are filling back out. I mean, you haven't had food in months, and then you finally start to fill back out, and you think you're gaining a bunch of muscle. When in reality, that muscle was always there. It was just kind of dormant.
Yeah, yeah. And I've seen, too, where somebody, especially like the less experienced guys, they'll end up growing into a show, especially guys that don't have a ton of experience and are using gear. They'll grow into a show because they weren't eating enough to begin with. And then the diet actually is more calories than they normally eat.
Yep.
They end up getting leaner while getting bigger. But then they don't really see how much muscle they really gained until that post-show period.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense, too. Because like you said, the muscle, you gain muscle and then you fill it out. And then, like you said, then you can see that. Obviously, you think you're putting on muscle post-show, but in reality, it was put on during the contest.
Yeah, yeah. And especially, too, I mean, it makes sense, especially, like I said, for the less experienced guys that might not have been eating, you know, 5-6 times a day before this. You know, all of a sudden now they're on a steady diet of eating high protein 5-6 times a day. They're taking a steady dose of gear, which is, you know, ideally increasing as the contest goes on. Then hell yeah, you could possibly gain some muscle.
Oh, definitely. Especially if you've only been out for, you haven't been out that long. I mean, you're still still getting your newbie gains pretty much.
Right, right. Which is unfortunately just too often, man, that I've seen that. But I've also seen some really cool transformations, though. I mean, even I myself, the first time I competed, I stayed about the same weight for about 8 weeks.
Wow.
And I just got leaner.
That's like ideal.
Yeah, yeah. People get so freaked out during the contest phase if the scale isn't moving.
Yeah, I know. And it depends on the person, you know, like you said. But if in my opinion, if you're not losing any weight and the mirror's changing, that's a good thing.
Hell yeah. So, you know, post-contest, we're talking about the rebound. We're talking about slowly increasing carbohydrates. For me personally, what I like to do with a lot of the people I'm working with during that rebound period, I like to keep the fats where they are. I don't want to touch fats right away. You know, yeah. I leave them where they are. Are your fats still low now?
I just started adding fat back in.
Okay.
But like I said, I took taking a different approach now.
Yeah.
But otherwise, you know, I wouldn't touch fat for, you know, 6 weeks anyways. I just to let the body utilize the carbs as best it can before we add any kind of any other energy source in.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense, man. So you said you're working with Chris Tuttle now, correct?
Yep. I just started with him this last week. So I'm excited to see what kind of methods he has and try some new things out.
So it sounds to me like you just, you like learning. I mean, you worked with Shelby, you worked with Matt Porter. Now you're working with Chris Tuttle. Is there anybody else you've worked with?
AJ Sims.
Oh, nice.
Yep. I worked with him on my third show.
Okay.
I worked with Phil Hernan, years back before I even was competing.
Yeah.
So, and like I said, I know like some guys soccer, you shouldn't jump from coach to coach. In my opinion, I just like to learn as much as I can. You know, I like to learn everybody's different viewpoints, and then you put all that together, and eventually you kind of have your own thought pattern, your own way of doing things.
Sure. I mean, you gave Matt Porter a year, so, you know, that's if you ask me, man, that's plenty of time for him to have gotten good results with you.
Yeah, and I got great results. I have nothing, you know, I was very happy with the results. But like I said, I just like to, you know, like change things up, try a different approach, and then see how that treats you. And then if it doesn't give me as good results, I go back to that type of, you know, training and diet.
You know, one thing we didn't address about contest prep, obviously, is gear. You know, post-contest, my thought is I want to clean out. You know, I want to get off anything I was taking because, you know, usually I would start a contest prep at a modest dose of gear and keep the products I'm using minimal. And then over time, I'm progressively going to increase. By the time I get to the show, I'm probably taking as much gear as I ever will take, you know, going into that contest.
And then to come off after, I mean, to go into taking more after or even dropping down, your body's already taxed. I mean, I have kept my gear in for, you know, 4 weeks post show in the past. This time around, I dropped it out just on just an HRT dose now.
Okay.
And that's part of the reason why we're keeping calories as low as we were, you know, just to stay lean and then basically recover from the show. And then once we turn and switch to growth phase again, we got our health in check and now we can start adding calories in. It's basically, it's like you're starting from your post show, but you have a fresh body.
Yeah, that I totally agree, man. Definitely time down, you know, even for those of us that stay on an HRT dose year round, you got to dial it back, man. I mean, of course, we always talk about it for health's sake. But you're not going to get the same response, you know, if you're redlining it for, you know, 4 months.
Well, yeah, you got to get the receptors freshen up, too, so you can actually respond to the doses you're giving it.
Sure, sure. Yeah, you need downtime. You know, it's really
well, it's not just, you know, downtime. You need to get back to your life, you know, and kind of get some of your relationships back that you may have been neglecting. And, you know, there's a lot of things that you should focus on post-show. Other than just your training and everything, you can get back to it, you know, in 6 to 8 weeks or whatever. But, you know, at that time, it's time to, you know, clean things up a bit.
You make a great point, man. I mean, relationships. I think that if anybody is in a relationship with a bodybuilder that competes, they are going to have to sacrifice, you know, time with that person and be understanding, you know, no matter, I don't care how good somebody is at competing, how, like, I'm pretty good at this point. I can work it into my daily life. And let me tell you what, man. This is what I think, Jeremy. My definition of hardcore is doing everything I need to do for the contest and still being able to maintain my life, you know?
Exactly.
To me, yeah, hardcore when I was younger might have been, like, just training 24/7, living the life, you know, eating, breathing, bodybuilding. Yep. But dude, no, man. Hardcore is being able to have everything you want in the sport and still be 110% in every other aspect.
Exactly, because what are you gonna have after the show?
Yeah, you know?
I mean, you're gonna have to come down from the cloud eventually and, you know, go back to your life. So you wanna make sure everything's still intact. I mean, things are gonna, you know, get a little tough, but you need to do everything you can to keep everything the way it should be, you know.
Yeah. That's a huge point, man. And I think, too, that no matter what we do, no matter how hard we try, if you're competing, the show, it gets so demanding that if you're doing it right, I mean, you're not going to be able to give the same amount of attention to the other aspects of your life in that last 4 weeks.
No, you know? You're just not. It just takes too much out of you. You know, you're focused on eating, cardio and posing and setting things up for the show and making sure you got a hotel and just all these things that add up, you know.
Yeah, so there is a level of kind of accepting that your life is going to be out of balance for that period of time. I think that,
yep, and that's, you got to let people around you know, you yes, know, just bear with me these last 4 weeks. I know it's going to be tough, you know, but after the show, then you kind of have to give back after the show and really, really, you know, basically increase the time you spend with them and everything like that.
I agree, man. I couldn't agree more with you. What have you done with your girl since you've gotten done with the contest?
We just spend a lot more quality time together. Just implemented a no cell phone rule at night because I tend to go on my phone and search a bunch of stuff, you know. But now we just make sure that we're spending time with each other and, you know, being in the moment, not just thinking about bodybuilding 24/7.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool, man. That's cool, too, that you could be in a relationship with somebody who could be understanding and know, okay, yeah, these last few weeks are going to be tough. But after that, you know.
Yep. Definitely.
Nice. Is there anything else you'd like to add, Jeremy? Because I think at this point of the night, we're about out of time. And on that note, I want to let you get back to spending that quality time with your gal.
Yeah. If anybody has any questions or anything, you can hit me up on Facebook. Just private message me. I'm open book. So,
Jeremy Simon. All right, I will tag you in this, so everybody will be able to get a hold of you. And man, I'd love to have you back. Let's figure out a plan. I feel like the two of us could work together on something, and we could launch another podcast, or we could do something together, man. This something could happen, man. Here.
Yeah, I'm all for it.
I sense the sparks. If people are listening to, you know, all the different shows that I'm doing, I've been talking about trying to get more people involved. Man, if you're up for it, I feel like we could do some cool stuff. This could be one of those things.
Definitely.
All right, brother. Well, thanks for being on, Jeremy, and I will look forward to having you back.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right. Well, let's go to a commercial break really quick. This has been Jeremy Simon. Of course, I'm Scott McNally for Advices Radio, and we'll be right back with S2H. He and I are going to knock out some questions from the question box at advicesradio.com. Advices Radio is presented by Naps Gear. Go to napsgear.org for all your bodybuilding supplement needs. While you're there, check out the entertainment section. They have blogs, video blogs, news articles, there's a Q&A, there's lab testing on many of the top products that are available on the market today that Naps carries. They have contests. There's all sorts of great stuff happening over in the Naps Gear community. So check it out today and make sure that you check with local laws before purchasing. Welcome back to Advices Radio, presented by Naps Gear. This is episode number 21, and back with me today is S2H. Mr. 2H, how are you doing today?
I am groggy, kind of. I stayed up for the election stuff.
Yeah?
I'm just clear. My brain is just, what's left of it is just clearing up.
Well, how late did you stay up? Did you stay up for like the whole thing?
I stayed up till like 3 something.
That's pretty late, man. I can't do that.
Yeah. I don't watch all the, like the pre crap where they just repeat stuff.
Yeah.
Until about 11 or 12. I just paid attention after 12, you know, midnight.
Okay.
Cause you know how it is. They just regurgitate the same shit over and over again.
Right. Right.
Like, well, no matter who you watch. So yeah, I was interested, you know. So I didn't get any sleep.
I can see that. I didn't like any of our choices this time around, to be honest. I'm not thrilled. I don't feel like we've got an awesome system, to tell you the truth. I don't feel like we really have choices, man. It's just like bad and worse, really. That's just my take. I mean, I don't want to make it a political show, but I just tried to stay away from it. I was amazed, man. I couldn't get away from it, though. Like, you go to Facebook and like everybody's posting like this picture with the sticker that says I voted, and everybody's posting up a bunch of crap. I got tagged in various like videos. And the thing is, man, it's like, I don't feel like Facebook is the place for you to spread your political propaganda. I don't care who you are for. I really don't want you to use my name to try to support whatever your platform is, you know?
Yeah, that's why I hate Facebook.
Yeah, I could see that.
I mean, the only two things I take out of it, really, I won't say which way I go, but is that the electoral system is questionable at times, but is somewhat accurate. But the media spin on, you know, who's ahead, who's winning this state, clearly is not accurate.
Yeah, yeah. That was definitely the take-home message, wasn't it?
And also, you know, the hypocrisy of people that say, I'll give you an example. They say that Donald Trump is, you know, doesn't like women and he makes these comments and everything, but they're the same people that go out with their buddies and play golf and comment about the golf, you know, the car girl's tits and watch porn and
sure
whatever. I mean, it's just total hypocrisy.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's some really clean, decent people that don't do, you know, live up per, you know,
guys that aren't like you and me. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah. So, it's just so hypocritical of people to say something bad about any candidate and they turn around and do it in their own lives.
No, I hear you, man. I do. And, if I had my way, I'd probably vote in like a libertarian or something like that. That's kind of more of the stance I run, but I feel like that's just never going to happen. You know, there's no real chance for it. I don't know, man. It's but I could probably go on about that for a long time. I haven't talked to you in a couple of weeks. You were telling me about how you were doing those walking drills and stuff, and you had your backpack loaded up. Are you still doing that stuff, and how's it going?
Yeah, my surgeon wants me to drop to 175 pounds.
Did you tell him to go F himself?
I mean, I told him I don't see that being, you know, possible. I don't think I weighed 175 pounds in like the 10th grade or something.
Yeah.
190 might be reasonable.
Did you tell him it's going to be really hard on all this gear to drop to 170?
No, I just take TRT mainly. And
I'm joking.
I'm stuck. I mean, I'm basically walking. I'm up to 9 miles okay. One night. I do different speeds, but I actually walk outside, you know?
Yeah.
In the dark. And, I mean, my appetite just skyrockets.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
Goes insane, but I've stayed mostly, I would say really mostly 90% clean eating. It's just I'm eating. I'm starving all the
yeah,
time.
Yeah, yeah.
Stuck at 220 and it doesn't want to move. But my clothes are getting looser.
Yeah. Well, it sounds good, man. I mean, it sounds like a good thing to me.
Yeah, I'm just doing mostly supported lifts, you know, machines, cables, bands, things that, you know, don't cause any kind of stress on my spine.
Okay.
I've been sleeping on the floor mostly.
That's what you were saying before, man. I couldn't deal with that. That's too hard for me. I guess I'm not hardcore enough to deal with that.
Well, you have to be level from your whole body flat.
Yeah.
Mostly. And for years and years, I always slept with pillows jammed up behind my head.
Yeah.
And that is problematic, obviously. Now I figured it out. It's not, they want to do surgery. They want to, I guess they have a new surgery. It's kind of like whatever Tiger Woods had and all those guys, that micro fraction surgery.
Okay.
But I don't know too many people that have back surgery that are any better after it.
That's a good point, man. Yeah. Yeah. When you're into the back surgeries and stuff, you're, that's just, it scares me, man. I'd do everything I could to avoid that. Hopefully, you know, getting some more weight off, even if you're replacing some fat with muscle, hopefully that will give you some, you know, some relief.
Yeah, I think that, and I've been doing the hip raises. I call them humpers.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, yeah.
Strengthen the hamstring,
yeah,
the glutes and stuff. From a suggestion from my personal trainer wife.
Okay.
And, you know, I mean, it's weird because it's hit and miss. One day I feel fine.
Yeah.
And then I'll go 2 or 3 days where it's just awful.
Okay.
It's generally from driving. Like if I'm compressed in a seat.
Yeah.
Or standing for a lengthy period of time. I mean, you know, even 15 or 20 minutes. We went to the grocery store the other day and I'm humped over the cart after 20 minutes. So, it's not. I think as more weight comes off, it'll be better.
Yeah, I bet it will.
But I don't see 175 in the books.
Nah, man, that would be tough. You'd have to lose a lot, you know. Yeah, you really would. And I can't imagine that being any more beneficial for you than being 190, you know, with the same amount, you know, with a lot more muscle.
Yeah. I mean, like most males and ones that are in my age group, my fat deposit tends to be in the midsection.
Yeah.
So that's an issue.
Right.
I mean, I only wear, actually, I put on a pair of 34-inch waist pants the other day. And they weren't even that tight.
Yeah.
So that tells me, wow, do I really, I mean, I don't have abs, like full abs or anything, but I don't see 175 from 220. That's a lot of weight. That's maybe a lot of muscle to atrophy.
Yeah.
But I might have to do it. I mean, if it doesn't get better, because the L4 disc on the MRI was starting to, it's screwed up too.
Okay. Yeah, I could see that.
Like I'm sitting in a chair right now. I have a towel rolled up behind me.
Yeah.
In the middle of my back. So it keeps it. You know, some curvature in it keeps the pressure off.
Yeah.
And I bought a special chair for my desk that's supposed to be great for your lower back, but
okay,
it's not great.
No.
It's a lot.
So what else is going on? What's new?
Just normal stuff. You know, my wife's got the flu.
Oh, geez.
My son still can't figure out not to put wet towels in his closet. Smells like death when you walk in the house.
Oh God.
Well, it's been, we did some yard work the other day, but I just poured the mulch out and I gave him the rake. I said, go to work.
Okay.
I'm utilizing my 15-year-old as yard labor.
There you go, man. You had him for a reason, you know. Take advantage of that. You've given him a place to sleep at night and probably put some food on the table for him, you know. No reason the kid can't you know, do a little bit of yard work while he's at it, right?
No, we're not the entitlement household. He wants to get his driver's license.
Okay. Yeah,
got to do driver's ed. I told him, I said, you know, you need to start saving some money and doing some work and save for your own car or whatever.
Yeah.
That's how it was when I grew up.
Hell yeah. Absolutely. That's the way to do it, man. You know,
too many kids are getting handouts from their parents.
I agree. You know, it's not going to teach anybody a lesson on how to deal with life, is it?
No. I mean, I told him, I said, I worked hard for a lot of years, and it wasn't always, a lot of it was physical work, and could I have done it smarter? You know, made the same money, but done it a little bit smarter, probably.
Right. I could relate to that, too.
I had my own business for a long time, and when you own your own business, you tend to not delegate as much as do it yourself.
Right.
And look back on that and said, think, wow, I could have just delegated that off to my help and probably spared some back issues.
Yeah.
Can't go back in time. Well, at least not yet. I think they're making a time machine. maybe I'll go back in time.
If they come out with that, I'm sure that we could all probably use that. Listen, I got a bunch of questions here from the Advices Radio website. I guess the IT guy is still working on building our forum. We're going to have a small forum. It's going to be at the advicesradio.com website. And we'll probably end up moving the questions over to that, I'm guessing, because right now we have the question box. If you go to the website, you can see the question box is that red button, and you can anonymously submit your questions. Questions have been coming in really good lately. We've been getting a lot of them, so that's pretty awesome. And I'm glad that we can, you know, help answer this stuff. But, you know, it'll be a little bit more interactive once we get a forum put together, I think. So that'll be, you know, to everybody's benefit.
Yeah. Do you have work? Is it a WordPress?
I don't deal with any of the technical stuff for this. We've got an IT guy, and he takes care of all of it. We've built other forums in the past, and we've used vBulletin, so I would hope that that's what we're going to use for this one, too.
It kind of looks like WordPress,
but yeah.
I couldn't say for sure.
Yeah,
is more secure than vBulletin.
Is it?
Oh, much more.
Okay.
I mean, obviously the Russians can hack the White House or whatever.
Right.
So nothing's secure.
Right. Yeah. If somebody wants to get in something, they can. But I just want a good site that, you know, isn't going to be filled with spam every day, that people can go to and ask their questions and, you know, get a little bit more interaction going than just the anonymous question box.
Yeah, I hear you. I need to get more interaction in my site. I've been so busy, I haven't done as much as I could.
Yeah,
it's in WordPress, and it's at first it's a little confusing being used to vBulletin, but
okay,
you know, it's all these plugins this, that,
yeah,
it looks real simple, but you can screw something up pretty quick if you don't know.
I got to get back over there. I haven't posted in a little while. I gotta get back over there and check it out and see how things are going. How is the company going with it?
As far as the clients and the private VIP threads,
yeah,
it's fairly, you know, it's decent.
Nice.
As far as the forum goes, there's not much going on.
Okay.
You know, I don't know if it's, we had an issue with a plugin that people couldn't register. You had to register separate from login, and it was confusing, and we've fixed all that, but unfortunately I think it's run, people have kind of forgot about it or like our EFT did an EFT. But yeah, it's supposed to EFT on the site payment, and then so everybody got in for free this month.
Oh wow! Oh man! Well, hopefully you'll get it sorted.
Yeah, my IT guy is a good IT guy. It's just that he never used WordPress.
Yeah, that's what you've said before.
It's one of those things that he's having to figure out.
As some he of goes. Yeah.
And then when you have e-commerce, you know, you have WooCommerce, AuthorizedNet, then the e-commerce. So you have three, you know, links in the chain. If one link is not operating properly, then you have an issue.
Yeah.
And that was a problem too.
I mean, it's almost done. I don't even know anything about that stuff. So you're speaking a foreign language to me right now.
I'm speaking a foreign language to a foreign language, basically, because yeah. I don't know what the hell I'm doing with that thing.
Right on. All right, let's get started here. First question. You know what? Hey, I just was thinking, I wonder, we should ask Skip if he wants to come on sometime. Do you think he would want to just hop on with us one morning? What time of day did you guys used to record PED? Is he available in the mornings? Because I know that's when you're most available.
He's pretty awake. Normally, he's on
Central.
He's an hour behind me.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Mountain so time. He is good probably 11, 10 a.m. his time, 11. I got to ask him.
Let's do it sometime, man. That would be awesome. Mm-hmm. We couldn't quite call it a reunion, but I will fill in for that third position. It'll be a reunion of you guys.
We'll just let him talk.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, first question, and this is going to be an easy one. It looks like guy says he's 23 years old, 6'5". So he's a viable giant in height, 230 pounds. So I'm guessing at 6'5", 230, he's not huge. You know, 230 on my frame and my height would be pretty big. But anyway, you know, considering if I was lean at that time, he says he's probably about 18-20%. He says he's an academic and he's never cycled before. So he's studying training and macronutrient manipulation in grad school. I'm not planning to compete, but I need to look the part if I'm going to succeed as a trainer and be able to reach people on social media in the LA and Miami markets. So he wants to be able to be like a social media jacked dude that he can like do ab shots in the mirror and stuff and tell people how awesome he looks so that they want to look like him. That's what I'm gathering. Says, I have researched all the steroids for 6 weeks now. I get cycling can be very hard on the endocrine system and HPTA. I read that it's best to stay on until you look like what you want to look like before coming off. So he's talking about just probably blasting cruise. Okay. He says, I plan on doing 12 weeks to diet off the fat. T-ball for 6 weeks at 40 to 60 micrograms every day, I'm guessing he means. Testy at 250 milligrams, split over two doses with aromacin, and he says Novadex if he needs it. So he's going to do that for 12 weeks, and then he wants to bridge. And during this bridge, he's going to use just one shot of test and HCG, Novadex, and Clomid, and aromacin all together, and then blast for 16 weeks with more gear. Test Deca and T-ball. I think he's getting a little ahead of himself, man. He's never cycled before, and he's got a pretty elaborate 12-week plan followed by a 6-week bridge followed by another 16-week plan. What are your thoughts, though, Scott?
Let's see. I actually just wrote this all down.
Yeah? Yeah, it's a lot, man. It was a lot.
At 6'5", 230... I would struggle to think he was 18 or 20%. He's pretty tall, and at that weight, I don't know unless doesn't have a lot of muscle.
Yeah, he's 23. Yeah, he says it doesn't say how long he's been training for, but dude, for all we know, he hasn't eaten a bodybuilding lifestyle diet, you know, for long. For all we know, he just started doing this in the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. You know, it sounds like he's trained. He doesn't have the formula yet. Okay. That's what I'm seeing. If he's 18-20%, he doesn't have the formula yet. You know, he doesn't know how to get in shape and he doesn't know how to grow muscle yet. Or he hasn't been doing it long enough to be able to have, you know, made much progress.
And he's in grad school.
Yeah.
Studying.
Yeah. He says, I'm studying training and macronutrient manipulation in grad school.
So not hormones?
Yes.
The first thing was a couple things that stood out. One is chuck a T-ball.
Yeah.
I don't see any use in that.
Do you not like oral turnaball?
Well, I don't like orals in general for long term, but with using testosterone and then a mild testosterone-derived oral, I mean, you're pissing up a rope, kind of.
Yeah.
I don't see the use in it.
Is that a Texas thing, pissing up a rope?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought so. Just want to make sure.
A red rope. Now, I would, if I was him, I would just keep it simple. KISS method.
Yeah.
Do 150 milligrams Monday and Thursday. At 23, he might want to use Arumidex instead of Aromacin.
Okay.
It's questionable. it go either way. The bridge part makes no sense to me at all.
Yeah, I think he's under the assumption that by running HCG, Novadux, and Clomid, and Aromasin, it's going to somehow cancel out the fact that he's still taking 200 milligrams of test a week, and it will somehow like make him recover or something, you know?
It'll increase his estrogen, lower his IGF.
It'll still he'll still be shut down, basically.
You know? Oh, he's going to be shut down for sure. Yeah. If he's gonna, bridge is kind of a term that I don't know. It's subjective, but if he's gonna run, what did you say, 250 milligrams of test E during his regular cycle?
Yep, and then drop it to 200 for the 6 week bridge. So the first,
you're not changing much.
No. It's gonna be basically the same, and I mean realistically. The first couple of weeks of that bridge, you're still going to have more tests in your system anyway, you know, because it's a long ester. So,
I doubt how long was the bridge? 6 weeks.
Six weeks, yeah.
I doubt his testosterone levels would drop much at all. Anyway.
I agree. I totally agree, man. It's basically the same.
So that's just one giant cycle.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's more than a replacement dose.
But not much, you know.
At 23, the issue that I also have is that what are his natural testosterone levels?
Yeah.
Or he should get labs and get him tested, because if his free test, bioavailable test is high, he's really counterproductive in this whole even cycling.
Yeah.
He could just be compensating exogenous testosterone to have the same testosterone levels.
Yeah, exactly. And then now be shut down, you know, at the same time. I agree. Yeah, I totally agree.
And then the Clomid and Novadex. If he has Novadex, I'm only proponent if you take a little break sometimes, you know, for a couple of weeks and use it, or you have, you know, gyno issues. But the Clomid makes no sense at all.
So what would you suggest to him then? You know, with his goals here, basically, which are to gain muscle and to look good.
I would say just use test E somewhere in the 300 to 400 milligram range, split twice, Monday through Thursday, an aromatase inhibitor, aromasin or Arimidex. Aromasin doesn't affect the LDL like Arimidex does. But at his age, he could go either way. And the 12 weeks, I'm not big on 12-week cycles to begin with. But if he could just stay on that for, you know, 8 weeks and then drop back down to 150 milligrams split, and that could be his bridge or whatever with an AI, a smaller dose of AI. And HCG, you know, there's some validity to that, being his age, if he wants to have kids or something, or wants to, you know, doesn't want testicular atrophy.
Yeah.
It's viable.
Yeah.
Clomid, Trinival, I see no use in.
What about something else? What about a different, I mean, he really doesn't need to take anything else. If he's never cycled before, my suggestion would be to scrap this whole thing and just run 12 weeks at 500 milligrams a test with an AI to control estrogen, and then come off, do post-cycle therapy, and be off, totally off, don't bridge, recover your natural test levels. I feel like it's an important part of cycling gear is, if you're going to come off between cycles, that you learn how to deal with that, you know, and that's just as important as understanding how your body functions while you're on the gear. So, I mean, definitely my thought would be I'd want him to come off if he wants to maintain natural function. But what about a different, like another oral? What about the classic quote unquote D-ball kickstart?
I'm not big on kickstarts anymore.
Yeah. You were in the past?
Well, I did all kinds of stuff in the past.
Yes, you did.
But now I don't see, I mean, you're going to get a bunch of water, intermuscular water retention. Yeah. If you do it for 4 weeks, and what are you going to get out of it? Not a whole lot, but you know, higher liver enzymes and water retention.
Fair enough.
I think he just needs to start slow. 500. That'd probably be the max, I would say.
Yeah.
And just stick with the test. I mean, you can grow on that. And if he can't grow on that, then, you know, if he's a grad student, he's that in depth in studying this, he should be getting labs and, you know, identifying where his hormone levels are, sex hormones and, you know, CBC, lipids and all that. And just keep track of them and see where you're at. But basically, he's just lining out a giant cycle.
Pretty much, yeah.
That's 24, 30 weeks long.
Yeah, yeah.
With a bunch of estrogen thrown in the middle of 6 weeks.
And, yeah, it's going to be really hard to recover after all that.
And that's the problem. At 23, he could possibly, you know, suppress his HPTA permanently.
Sure. What about, you know, to feel like he could really use some work on the diet and stuff first, man? You know, 18-20% at 230 pounds at 6.5 feet tall. I feel like that's pretty small, man.
Yeah, either he's... I mean, some people just judge themselves and are harsher critics of their body fat. It would be impossible without seeing his picture of him and seeing him.
I find the opposite, though. Like, I'll have guys tell me they're 10%. When in actuality, they were probably like 18. You know what I mean?
Well, no disclaimer to people who aren't college educated, but when most people have that far of an education, they tend to lean the other direction.
Okay, I could see that, man. So, but let's say he is 18. So if he were 20% body fat, I just did the math. 20% body fat at 230 pounds, that means like 46 pounds would be non-lean tissue. So he's very small. They'd be very small. So let's even say he was 10% body fat, okay, which he's probably more than that. That would be 23 pounds. So he's only, let's assume he's like, you know, if we split the difference, maybe he's 200 pounds of lean body mass. So if you were to diet him down for stage conditioning, he would be under 190 at 6'5", you know. So I feel like he could probably use some education.
Yeah, but it's like I said, it's hard to tell without seeing an actual picture and knowing what he looks like.
Right on.
But if he actually is 18 or 20% at 230 pounds, 6'5", he's got some work ahead of him.
Okay.
As that would put his lean body mass at what 20% would be 46 minus 230, so that's 184.
Yeah.
So that's pretty thin for 6'5".
Yeah. Yeah, he definitely, you know, so come back, man. Come back, and if you want help with your nutrition, you know, tell us what you're doing, and, you know, we can try to help you out with that. Next question, this guy.
Sometimes the people that are in these grad programs like he's in, and they're studying this stuff.
Yeah.
They kind of cross things over, like this SCLOMVID and all this bridge part, because bridge is not going to be in a you know, scholar study.
Right.
That's a bro science terms. So he's kind of crossing up bro science and his education.
Yeah. There's no technical term for a bridge, right?
Drive over it.
Yeah. All right. So the next question, this guy actually mentions you. He says, you might remember him. He says, I'm the same guy who was talking about PCT and having problems with breakouts when he comes off. Considering that I don't want to be a quitter, as S2H calls it, I'm considering just cruising instead of post-psychotherapy. The only question I have about this is, does this put me at risk for not being able to have kids? I'm 26 and I plan to have kids in 3 or 4 years. Would you recommend, what would you recommend I do to keep my ability to have kids while cruising?
Well, first I want to say I have a kind of a dry sense of humor.
Okay.
So by calling him a quitter, that was more of a dry.
Okay. Yes. Joke. I'm glad you said something because I got that, and I'm sure he probably did too. But nonetheless, yeah.
I don't want him to think that, like I'm calling him a pussy or something.
And then 20 years later, he never had kids, and then he blames you.
It's all my fault.
Yeah, yeah.
Sues me. if he wants to have kids, then he needs to, in my opinion, run 2 8-to-10 week, maybe 12 cycles of, you know, just testosterone, aromatase inhibitor. You can use HCG in there. People way overtake it.
Yeah.
You know, 250 IUs a week to 500, you know, is plenty. Yeah, it can definitely affect your ability, your sperm count, sperm volume. It can go both ways. I mean, I had kids on all my kids when I was loaded down to the bear, you know.
Okay.
But some people don't.
Yeah.
So if he wants to be cautious and he wants to take the conservative route, then he needs to PCT properly, and that's at least time off from time on.
Yeah.
And recover, get labs, and, you know, identify if he's starting to shut down. He might get into this, be fine the first PCT, run the next, you know, 10-week run, and then the labs show that he's not recovering as fast, and that should be alarming. You need a sperm count too. A lot of people don't do that. They get just, you know, their regular sex hormone labs and kind of gauge it off that.
Yeah.
But you should get the sperm volume count tested to see where he's at, if that's becoming deficient. Yeah. Yeah, but HCG works pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. I've known tons of guys that have accidentally gotten their, not tons, but enough, and some clients of mine that have gotten their wives or girlfriends pregnant on pretty decent cycles, and a lot of times they happen to be running HCG when it happens.
Yeah, I didn't even know what HCG was when I had all my kids.
Yeah.
And it depends on the female too. I think we talked about it before.
Yeah,
I mean, is the spouse, the other half, is what's her ability to conceive?
Yeah.
A lot of guys blame it on themselves. When I've seen this happen too, where it turns out they run tests on the wife and she has fertility issues.
Sure, sure.
But you need to check both sides of the fence.
Yeah.
Not just say, "Oh, well, I ran a cycle, so I can't have kids."
Right.
But no, PCT is, at his age, 26, is a viable, realistic thing for, you know, if he wants to have kids.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. A lot of gear questions here. I'm looking at the next one. He says, I wanted to have you critique my off-season cycle. I am wanting to gain a good amount of size and do it right. I am 6'1", 26 years old, 210 pounds, started lifting at 148 pounds at 18. I have done 3 cycles, all 4 preps. One was for a show, and the other 2 were mock preps, just to lean my body out and have fun with the process. I was told by my coach that this would be a good bulking cycle, and I would like to see if you guys suggest anything differently. So he's done a couple cycles. He doesn't tell us what they were. For this one, he says, test SIP 750 a week for 16 weeks. He says he's never taken more than 500 in the past for the previous cycles. Anadrol 50 milligrams 1 through 4. Deca 600 1 through 8. EQ 8 through 16. And Arimidex 1 through 16. He says, I have never taken a cycle for gaining mass and would love to hear your recommendations and adjustments and reasoning behind it. So just to run you back through here, he says, with the test, he's only ever taken 500 before. He's never taken Anadrol, never taken Deca, and with the EQ, He's dosing it at 600, and he's only ever taken 400 before.
Overall, I would, again, pass on the Anadrol.
Yeah.
I don't really, I mean, especially if you, I don't, again, don't like six that long of cycles, but if he's going to go that long, the Anadrol 1 through 4, it's really not going to, it's just water retention.
It's a minimal part of the program, that's for sure.
It's not even worth using. I mean, it's not completely worthless, but it's not really needed. The rest of it seems pretty, yeah, I would go for that.
Yeah. I like EQ longer than 8 weeks.
Cause he's said 8 to 16.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's going to do the DECA for the first 8 weeks, and then he's going to switch to the EQ for the last 8 weeks.
Oh, I wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Well, I would run the, you could run really optimally. If I was advising him, I would just run the 750 test, the DECA, the EQ for about 12 weeks.
All three of them together.
Yeah. And all this crap about you need 16 weeks for EQ to, you know, work and all that. I mean, that's a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah, it's working from day one. You know,
it's active the day it goes in your system.
Yeah. I do feel like it continues to work. You know, it continues to build, you know, over a long time, though. I like it personally for an extended period, but you also have to watch, you know, your red blood doesn't get too thick, too. You know, it can cause problems.
It's another reason why I don't like 16 weeks.
Yeah.
Whatever is his coach's cycle.
Yeah, that's what he suggested to him.
I would say it's fairly accurate. Other than I'm just not real keen on the Anadrol part.
Yeah. Yeah, he could make it work, man. I mean, I feel like he'd make some good progress on it, sure.
It's his ratios are really pretty solid.
Yeah.
Milligrams on each compound.
Yeah, it's not crazy. You know, I mean, it's definitely a lot more than it's more than he's taken in the past, but it's not crazy.
I think one thing I would suggest maybe is maybe definitely take the Anadrol out, but maybe just do the DEC end test or the EQ end test, and yeah, don't mix up that many compounds, because if he has an issue, he's not going to know exactly what compound's causing that problem.
Well, he has run the EQ before.
He has?
Yeah, at 400, and he ran test SIP, you know. He knows the effects of tests. So if he did run that, those two things plus the DECA would be like the only new variable.
Yeah, I think it's not a bad plan.
Yeah. I guess
a little bit longer than I like, but not bad.
There's a lot of ways, you know, to get, to put a cycle together. And I don't think that anything is there's no absolutes. You know what I mean? That you might suggest it a little different than me. This guy, his coach, might suggest it a little bit different from either of us, but I mean, I could see this working, you know?
Yeah, you never know. I mean, some people take EQ and their RBCs.
Yeah.
Chart. Some people take DECA, have no problems. Some take it and have all kinds of progesterone, prolactin, the whole chain of problems.
Yeah.
He's definitely going to have to manage his estrogen.
Yeah.
With those compounds, well, especially with the DECA being in there.
Yeah.
Overall, no, it doesn't. I actually wrote it down as you were saying it, so.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem too bad. I mean, it seems pretty decent.
Oh, cool. Well, there's some advice for him.
Nothing I would just like say, oh, hell no, you know.
You know what, too? It seems like he could, if he's going to run any gear, I think he could really use to run an off season cycle. You know, he's run it 3 times now, but every time he's ever run gear, he's dieted down. So he's never tried to grow, you know, on gear before. And you know, he's a pretty small dude. What do we say we were looking at here? He's,
six one.
I'm sure he hasn't tapped out his overall, you know, ability to grow at 210 pounds. He's only 26. So I mean, he started out pretty small. He started out at 148 pounds, but I mean, 210 now at 6'1", he could definitely put on a lot more mass. So I think that his coach is leading him down the right path too. You know, focus on some off-season time and really shove those calories in, because you can handle more food too, you know, when you're on an off-season cycle.
Yeah, also, I'm looking at the math. I mean, if he was 148, now he's 210 in 6 years.
Yeah.
That's not bad if it was lean. I mean, that's lean body mass. That's pretty damn good.
Oh, he might have even, I mean, that was, he started at 18, so he's probably even filled out more, like his frame, you know, because he started 148 pounds at 18. I bet a guy like that, you know, you're not totally done growing until you're, you know, 21, 22 or so. So I bet that like some of that is probably even just frame increasing, you know?
Yeah, true. Definitely. And I mean, if you're 6'1" and you're 210 and you're legitimately have abs and stuff, I mean, that's not a bad size.
Yeah, I guess it depends on your goals, right?
Bone structure plays a part too in your weight.
Sure. You
know, some people have much heavier bone structure, so they can weigh a lot more and not look as big. You know, as big.
Sure.
So I mean, I'm actually, that's, I'm thinking about it more. I'm like 148 to 210 in 8 years. That's with basically just a pre-contest cycle.
Yeah.
That's pretty damn good. I don't personally wouldn't use the Anadrol, but I think you should, if you believe in your coach and you're paying him and you've gotten results, maybe there's something, a reason there that coach wants to use that, and you should communicate with them.
Yeah. That's, you know, a good point.
Discuss it, because if you start, even though, you know, I know a little bit about this stuff and you do, everybody, you know, but even if you start getting consistent, you know, contradictory opinions, it just, you know, clouds the whole thing up in your mind.
Yeah.
I get a lot of, not a lot, but I get a fair amount of like PMs on boards, people that have coaches and they want to know, and why are you asking me if you have a coach?
Yeah.
And some of them are really like good coaches. So I think people sometimes want to validate what they're being instructed.
I could see that. Yeah. Yeah. I could see that. Yeah. I agree.
Sometimes
too.
They want to validate taking more.
Nah. I think you make a really good point, man, that, you know, if he's going to pay this guy to coach him, then, you know, he should figure it out with him. I don't think either of us saw anything in that program that was just like off the charts crazy. There's no reason to say, like, you know, oh, this is a bad idea. So I think if he followed his coach 100% on this, you know, he'd be fine. Or, you know, if he wanted to question him about, like you said, for instance, the Anadrol, you know, do I really need the Anadrol in this program? You know, I'm sure that the two of them can sort that out. I have a feeling too, the coach would probably be fine without him taking the Anadrol.
He could be carb cycling him too into it. And that would be a reason for using Anadrol, possibly. Carp. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, the 4-1-1 to 4 load oral thing is kind of trendy. So I don't know if it's really something that the coach feels he really needs, or if the client wanted to try it. You know, you don't know the interaction between them.
Right.
Just, you know, if you hire a coach, listen to him. Just do what he says. And if you look like shit after, you know, a year, then get a new coach. But
yeah,
all these guys are pretty good. There's some pretty good ones out there.
All right, next question is about peptides and insulin. He says, "I'm currently on a peptide and insulin cycle, as I'm predisposed to baldness. I've researched 99% of the current anabolic steroids, but they all seem to affect the hairline. Is there anything on the scene, such as SARMs or anything else, that could possibly work for him without affecting his hairline?"
He's predisposed to baldness?
That's what he says, yeah.
He's going to be bald anyway.
Yeah.
But if he wants to, you know, if he wants to preserve his hair, he says peptides and insulin. That's like a pretty generic.
Yeah.
That doesn't tell me much.
I think what he's saying is that those are the things he's currently using now, and he would like to step it up to using anabolics, but he hasn't, and he's a little bit worried about doing so because he's afraid of going bald.
Well, any highly anabolic steroid is going to be less problematic, you know, less conversion to DHT. But if you're predisposed to baldness, the chances are you can take anything. You're going to start losing some hair.
True. Because
there's going to be, it's either a DHT-derived drug or it converts through 5-alpha reductase. So, I mean, there's a few out there that he could probably use, like Proviron.
Yeah.
Is the DHT, but it doesn't affect hair loss as much on some people, but it does on others. So Anavar. I would say MK677 would be his best outlet, or growth hormone if he's not. I mean, he said peptide, so I don't really know what he's.
But yeah, I don't think he's asking us. He doesn't really. It sounds like he's got all that stuff situated. You know, the peptides, the insulin. His concern is, you know, is there an anabolic steroid? And I think that, you know, what you're coming up with is, I agree, man. There's not really. I mean, it's all going to be a give and a take. You know, we're going to achieve something, and you're going to have to sacrifice something in the process. If you're going to go bald, like Scott's saying, you know, you're going to go bald. That's probably going to happen, you know, if you're predisposed with or without steroids. Sure, steroids can make it happen faster. And you can read all you want, but it's a whole different story when you actually have your own experiences. Like you'll read a lot of stuff about how Primobolan is low on side effects and it's a safe drug. I'm going to tell you what, man, I've used some good real Primobolan in my day, and that stuff makes my hair fall out. It gives me bad acne. It just does. It for me, it doesn't work well. There's some other compounds that don't make me shed as much. Superdrol, that's another one, man. 1-methyl test, that's another one, man. These things make my hair, like, I can see it coming out, basically. Like, I'll wash my hair, and it's just like I've got hairs all over my hands. Like, just, I know it's bad news. So, you know, I stay away from that stuff, man. You're not going to lose your hair overnight. You're not just going to wake up, and it's probably not going to happen even over one cycle. It's going to be the prolonged effect of continually using these things on and off and being part of your lifestyle. So my thought is, you figure out the things that you can deal with and you stick to them. But if it's not worth it to you, if having your hair is more important, then just don't, man. Just stay away from it all.
Yeah, I mean, I could loan hair out.
Yeah.
My head.
Yeah.
It's just everybody's different. My hair doesn't fall out at all.
No kidding.
And you know, one other thing back to his psych is peptide insulin. That's a bit concerning if he's doing that for a long period of time or a lot, because you're talking about insulin sensitivity, blood glucose issues.
Yeah.
You know, you could make yourself a diabetic.
Sure.
Yeah. But insulin's the most powerful hormone pretty much out there. You can use insulin by itself, and it's very effective.
Sure.
But what are the ramifications of using it a lot and long term?
At the very least, at the very least, you could get real fat, you know?
You could get fat, or it would be that. He didn't put any time lengths, right, of what those peptide insulin cycles were.
No.
I would go with MK. Would be one that he could look at. Some people get good results out of the Osterin. I'm kind of not one that has, because it's not a strong enough, you know, compound for where I'm at.
I think you make a good point about that too, Scott, because a lot of times the things that don't have a strong side effect don't have a strong effect either.
Yes, correct. I mean, the LGD SARM I've seen people that it's been affected with tends to get a lot of water retention, but MK would be on the top of my list if he hasn't used MK677. To get, I mean, it's not a steroid, but
right.
It isn't, but it will give you some like results, and you could stay away from the insulin use. You know, it's hard to say. I don't know if he's using Humalog. Is he using? I mean, he could be using Lantus.
Yeah. And
that Lantus is proven to be, you know, much less. Yeah, I mean, it's effective, but it doesn't, cause insulin sensitivity and stuff like that. You know, glucose levels that are going all over the place, hypo, hyper, you know.
Yeah.
So it depends what he's doing. I would just say the worst thing you could do is take, like, testosterone and take finasteride or something.
Yeah.
Because then he's just giving himself high estrogen. You're basically cutting a third out of the conversion.
Sure.
And that's counterproductive too. And it's kind of either going to go bald or not take steroids.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that, you know, that's an option there. Or a couple options. So yeah. And you know, as we were saying, you can experiment with this stuff, and it's not like, you know, you made one wrong decision and now you're instantly going to be entirely bald. Hair loss is a process, and if you see yourself shedding, you could just as easily discontinue what you're taking. You know, stay away from the stuff that is known to make people bald quickly, and you know, see if you can figure out something that does work. I mean, that would be an option. Or like you're saying, Scott, he could just quit altogether. I've got one more question here.
Okay.
Looks like a long one. So, yeah, I'll see if I can kind of paraphrase it. He says, first off, awesome podcast. And he appreciates the information. Prior to my first cycle, he was approximately 180 pounds at 12% body fat. 30 years old, 5'11", 215 pounds, 15% body fat. He's run two cycles. He's done a test E cycle, 500 milligrams with DECA at 300. This is 12 weeks. It looks like he dropped the DECA after week 10. Did a full post-cycle therapy. Then he did test DECA with T-ball and Anavar. And it looks like he ran it the whole way through, Scott. He ran the T-ball for weeks 1 through 6 and the Anavar weeks 6 through 14. Was a 12-week cycle, or let's see, 14-week cycle. Now here's my actual question. I want to run this cycle. Test E, 250 milligrams a week. Tren E, 150 milligrams a week. D-ball, weeks 1 through 4 at 60 milligrams a day. And Anavar, weeks 6 through 14 at 60 milligrams a day. Scott, how do you feel about running an oral for 14 weeks, 16 weeks at a time?
I don't feel very good about it.
It was a loaded question. I knew what you were going to say.
Let's get the T-ball thing in there again. And I'm not saying T-ball is worthless, but it's not one that I really find very effective, especially when you're running testosterone with it.
Yeah. Okay, well, he said that he ran T-ball in the previous one. For this cycle, he's going to do D-ball. But I guess it's
D-ball.
Yeah, I guess it doesn't really matter though, man, because I think the point that you and I would both make is it's not really going to be smart to run an oral for 14 weeks. People get on this notion that they say, "Well, I'm taking Live 52 or Milk Thistle, I'm fine," you know. They think it's like an insurance policy where if anything were to go wrong, the Milk Thistle is going to fix it. It's not just your liver, folks, you know, it's also things like cholesterol levels. This is bad news, man. We're talking about long term.
Yeah, it's. I mean, Milk Thistle is like taking a bucket of water to a forest fire.
Yeah.
I think that he needs to. The Anavar part, towards the end, maybe the last 6 weeks.
Okay.
So, I mean, test Tren E at 150. It's pretty. And then what test is it? 250?
Yeah, just 250 a test, real low.
I would ramp the Tren E up over the test and just drop the orals.
You would take more Tren E than test?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like that idea.
Less side effects.
I don't like that idea. I personally, it doesn't jive well with me, but I'll go with you here, you know. There's different ways to get there. I feel like that's the Z's method, if you remember who Z's was. He was this kid who took a lot of Tren, and now he's dead.
Well, I don't think 14 weeks is... I would revamp the whole thing.
Yeah, I would too. I wouldn't even use Trenny for your first time running Tren. You know, you never ran Tren before. I would not want to start with Tren, you know, enanthate. I would want to start with the acetate version. That way, if there was a problem, you could adjust your dose quickly and, you know, get relief if there was an issue.
Yeah, definitely. That's a good point. I don't particularly like Trenny at all.
No, I don't either.
Combined with that oral, it just, the whole thing doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I mean, I would just tell him take 750 milligrams of test. That's it.
No Tren?
No.
I think he wants to run the Tren, though. I think that's his point here. Because he did, like, test DECA, then test DECA, T-ball, and Anivar. And now he wants to do test Anivar, D-ball, and Tren. I feel like his point here is that he wants to run Tren.
Well, I want to win the lottery, but
yeah,
you know, it's not going to happen. Yeah. I mean, testosterone has higher nitrogen retention than Tren. So why even? I don't see the use in Tren, and especially in that low dose. I don't really think he's going to get a whole lot out of it.
150 of Tren-y. I don't think it's a great idea.
Something like five was his largest test cycle, 500. I'd go like 750 milligrams of test, and you could throw some Anivar in at the end.
Yeah.
If you want to. Anivar is actually a really good drug for strength.
Yeah, it is.
People don't really realize that. They think it's just a girly compound, but it actually is very good for strength gains. So if you match it with the higher test dose, it'll give you some good returns. The 1 through 4 thing is everyone's 1 through 4 on something, seems like. I just don't get into that.
It looks like he's saying he writes a little more after that. His buddies at the gym tell him that Tren is good for building lean mass without gaining unnecessary fat.
Testosterone's better.
I think that diet is, you know, the key to how much diet. Fat. Yeah. Diet, though, that's the key. How much fat you gain, you know, comes down to what you're eating. But, yeah, and then your gear is going to be secondary to that. And I get what people are saying. I mean, Tren does work. And I feel like, you know, it's real strong. If you were to experiment with it, I would definitely suggest the acetate version. And, you know, maybe do a 12-week cycle of test. And if you really had to run Tren, maybe for the last 8 weeks, add 50 milligrams every other day of Tren acetate.
Even better would be just Parabolin.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of in the middle, but it has more of the acetate type of results with way less, you know, side effects.
Yeah, I've never used it before. So that's like the... hexyl benzyl something carbonate, right?
Yep. Tren hex or Parabolin, it was called. And you don't have to use much. It comes in 76 milligrams per milliliter, mostly.
How often would you dose that Tren hex?
Just Monday, Thursday, and then do his test. If he's doing 750, I like people like to evenly divide things. So if you're going to inject, so let's say you have four milliliters a week you're going to use, Just take the 4 milliliters and divide it over every other day. Equal amounts.
I like that too.
Unless you just hate or just can't pin, you know, you're just, you know, scared of pinning or don't like to.
Yeah.
But if you just spread it all out evenly in even dosages, you're going to have better blood, better stable blood levels.
Yeah.
You'll find that your side effects will mitigate a lot more because your blood levels are more stable. They're not bouncing up and down.
I agree 100%.
Yeah, Tren-E is not a good, especially at that dose, because it's not really a whole lot.
Yeah.
I don't see that. And plus, if he starts with his D-ball, he said, 1 through 4.
Yep.
He's going to have a lot of aromatase.
Yeah.
And that combined with even that small amount of Tren and the test in there, he's going to have some issues, I would bet, controlling his estrogen.
So how does this sound to you? It sounds like his goal is for mass gains. I mean, really, I don't feel like Tren is ideal if that's what he wants to do. I mean, if he really had to run Tren, maybe Tren acetate. But I mean, I don't know, man. It's just not a cycle I would run personally. Not if I wanted to grow. You know, Tren altogether. It's just not my off-season go-to.
I don't think there's much that beats the test in DECA. As long as DECA doesn't give you a lot of problems and you run the test about double the dose of the DECA.
You know, it does for me. And for that reason, I like EQ.
EQ's decent. NPP actually would be a good... If you have problems with DECA, you go to NPP.
That's a good option, that sure.
Another option, test NPP. If he wants to gain lean muscle, then... that would go with test and just test alone up the dose, or test NPP or test EQ, test DECA.
Yeah.
One of those two compound combinations.
Yeah. I like that.
Maybe I've backloaded some orals before and it helps some, but I don't come off. So if you're going to PCT, it's maybe not the best thing, or it's not going to be as effective.
I go with that. That makes sense. Yeah. Well, listen, that's our last question here, and I've got to run. I've got 25 minutes to get out the door. I'm heading out to train back with VJ and Shelby shortly.
God, VJ.
Yeah, me and VJ and Shelby. We're gonna our buddy Bill Toko, who was on episode 2. Mm-hmm. We're gonna go train some back. There's gonna be some deadlifts going on today.
So who's the strongest?
Shelby, he's by far the strongest, and him and Veej are pretty close. And then Bill and I both have lower back injuries, so we are not the strongest.
So the guy that takes minimal amount of stuff is the strongest.
Yeah, well, none of us really, you know, use too much of anything. I can speak for myself. That's it, though. I don't know what anybody else does.
Well, Shelby was a competitive powerlifter, though.
I guess he was, yeah, I guess he was years ago before he got into competitive bodybuilding.
Yeah. I mean, that doesn't leave you a lot of times.
Yeah.
I did rack deads a couple, 3 weeks ago, whatever, and it was the stupidest thing I ever did, but my strength in them wasn't bad.
Yeah.
Even though I haven't done them in a long time. So if you build that core. Yeah, I believe Shelby started out as a powerlifter when he was young.
Yeah, he did.
That's probably what established his physique, his ability to maintain size and grow. So,
plus, he's just super focused in the gym. You know, he gets to it. Guy is he's a hard worker for sure.
Oh yeah, Shelby's solid. I mean, he's done some. He's made some great progress, and you know, it's good to see him get his pro card and everything.
Yeah, absolutely. So listen, I'm going to hit it. We got all caught up here. That was the last question. I think that we've answered everything up to date now. I think we missed a couple things along the way, honestly, but I'm not sure which ones now, but we are up to date on questions. So everybody out there, if you have any questions, until we get the message board started, please submit them over at the question box at advicesradio.com. Head over to the Facebook page and like that. And what's your website, Scott?
www.advancedtrainingtech.com.
Nice.
Or you can, if you have issues registering, you can email me at s2htraining@gmail.com. Or if you have any questions or anything, well, if you want to hire on, I'll get like 1,000 emails. But yeah, feel free to email me. That's fine. You know.
All right.
I'm gonna go take a nap.
You just woke up, and now you're gonna take a nap, huh?
Yeah, I'm dragging ass.
All right, go get some sleep, and I'm gonna go eat some food real quick, and get out the door to go do some bat.
Be careful.
All right, guys, for Advices Radio, I'm Scott McNally here with S2H. This has been episode number 21. We are out. Keep grinding.
I sit in my desolate room. No lights. No music. Just ever. I've killed everyone. I'm away forever. But I'm feeling better. How do I feel?